it's going out a little bit in each one of us, Lord, as we see folks be baptized today, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you help us in all that we do to glorify you and to align our efforts again to expand your kingdom again. So, Lord, we love you, and we just want to glorify you in all we do and say. So we just ask that you come be with us, that you would find our gathering today acceptable. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Baptism Sunday. This is an exciting Sunday for me. Not because I get to do baptisms, but I just enjoy watching baptisms. I enjoy getting to experience that, no matter who's performing or who's being baptized. It's just a great way to remember my baptism and the baptism of other special people. And you know, it's a way that we can show unity in the body of Christ, and it's just exciting to me. So we changed plans at the last minute to have them here, and that was based on we have some folks that maybe not be able to navigate our park. I wanted to do it down at the park, but it's pretty steep down there, so I realized that some of us wouldn't be able to probably stand down there and see. So we decided to do it here. I really like outdoor baptism, and so I think we'll plan the fall one at a different location that's easy on everybody's standing and maybe sitting, and maybe we'll do something a little different in the fall, okay? So having said that, you know, the Lord instructed the disciples to pray. Jesus told him to pray to the Lord for the workers, send the workers into the harvest, you know, and that's us. So the reason we decided we wanted to schedule these baptisms is anticipation that the Lord's going to do the work in people that we don't know, or maybe people that we do know, and they would come to accept Christ and then participate in baptism. So we're doing this, we're planning these events out of anticipation that the Lord's going to do his work in adding to the body of Christ too. So we just want to participate in that and be prepared, okay? So, baptism. I hope I get to teach you something today. I hope you learned something that you haven't known before. But it's good to revisit things. Maybe we are familiar with it. Maybe we're not so familiar. But it's good to revisit. So baptism, the word baptize is a transliteration from the Greek word baptizo, okay? And that literally means just to dip, sink, or submerge underwater, all right? So baptizo has a root word that is bapto, and I thought this was interesting that the term was used in that first century, and it was used in regard to the clothing industry, okay? So bapto means that what they would do when they would use the word bapto was they would be changing the color of clothing, all right? In order to change the color of clothing, they had to start with a blank slate. So in the connotation with bapto was that the first part of the process of changing the color of clothing was they had to turn it white so that it could accept all the dyes that they were getting ready to put into it. So they would first meant that they had to bleach the material white, okay? And then they would dye it whatever color they would be changing the material to. So there was both a cleansing or a whitening, a bleaching, and then there was the changing of the color of the cloth. Now, note the similarities between that and the symbolic cleansing of sin and then becoming a new person through the experience of baptism. This is all symbolic, but there's a similarity there, and so I thought that was worth bringing up. So if we can state this another way, when you process the clothing, when you would process this cloth, you were going to change its color, you would call it that you were going to baptize it in that culture, in that Greek culture, okay? So they would literally call it baptizing that, all right? So that was a simple process, but a profound symbolism. And so just like the cloth, The believer in Christ is first cleansed through salvation. Isn't that neat? They're first cleansed through salvation. They're bleached from their stains of sin. They're cleansed from their stains of sin by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And as a result of that salvation that's obtained freely and by faith, the believer then begins to transform into a different person who more and more resembles the Lord Jesus. So the process of baptism is very simple. You know, this might be stating the obvious, but you begin in a pool of water, standing or kneeling, and another person lowers you under the water and then brings you back up out of the water. That's the mechanics of a baptism. It's really easy. Sometimes. But it's pretty much easy. Water baptism, it symbolizes the believer's total trust in and the total reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as a commitment to live obediently to him. So while the process of baptizing is easy, the spiritual connotations to it, why we do it, is a little more involved. It expresses also unity in the body with all believers. That's with every person, every nation on earth who is a member of the body of Christ. So it unifies us together as believers. Okay? And so it's very important in that regard. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 28 says this: "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So it has this connotation of putting clothes on that are Christ. Okay? And then it goes on to say in verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And there comes the unity when you see that they are all one in Christ Jesus. Water baptism symbolizes this, but it's not what saves us, okay? Baptism doesn't save us. And there's people that will argue against that, but it's just not possible that we're saved by the physical performance of a baptism. Instead, we are saved by grace through faith as apart from works. And we see this in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says to us that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is a gift of God, not of works. That means it's nothing that we can do, nothing we can work toward to save us. Not of works, so that no one can boast. So, if baptism doesn't bring salvation, why do we do it? Why is it so important to the church? Well, why do we baptize? That brings the question. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Why do we baptize? Baptizing just to baptize is useless. You know, if you just go through the motions and be baptized, you're just taking another bath, essentially, okay? So there's a reason why we should do it, but is it tradition? No, it goes beyond tradition. We don't do it just because we've always done it. But you would think that there should be some sort of a personal justification why we would go through a baptism. Are we doing it just because the church is baptizing today? Hopefully not. You know, hopefully we're doing it for the right reasons. And I got to thinking, is there some sort of a precursor to baptism? Is there some sort of a mathematical equation, an A plus B equals C, sort of events that we follow to get us to being baptized? Well, I'm hoping that today you can see that in this message, that there is some precursors. So, first of all, we're baptized because our Lord Jesus commanded it, okay? He commanded us. Brandy mentioned this earlier in the call to worship in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So first, the body of believers, they go and they make disciples, okay? And then the baptizing happens. So we should first, those being baptized should first be a disciple of Christ. if we're going to follow the order of the scripture. And I hope that that makes sense. Otherwise, we're probably out of line. We're probably doing it for a different reason if we're not a follower of Christ to begin with. So we want to do that to be obedient. So water baptism is for believers. Water baptism is for disciples of Christ. But before we're to be baptized, we have to come to believe that we are sinners in need of a salvation. So we need to become saved first, right? We need to accept Christ. We need to come to that realization that we can't save ourselves and we need Jesus. And we accept his gift of eternal life, okay? So we must believe that Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins and that he was buried and that he was resurrected to assure our place in heaven. So that's the essential belief that we need before we can go ahead with baptism. Another reason that we baptize is that we are baptized so that we display that we believe in the gospel, okay? We baptize so that we can display that we have a belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we spent a little bit of time on this over the past couple months. Let me read that to you. It says, Now I make known to you, brothers, that the gospel which I proclaimed to you, proclaimed as good news to you, which you also receive, which you also stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I proclaimed to you as good news, unless you believed for nothing. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. If we notice in the scripture, we see here Paul that says, you have taken your stand. You're taking our stand in the gospel. We're taking our stand in the good news of God, okay? So Paul's saying here, you have taken your stand. This stand on the gospel is being portrayed today through baptism by these individuals. They're saying to the whole world and to us that I belong to Jesus Christ and I have accepted the sacrifice for my sin and I'm going to live my life out in a manner pleasing to God. That's what they're displaying today is their belief in the message of the gospel, okay? They're saying today that I'm with Jesus Christ. I'm with Jesus Christ. I am following Jesus Christ. That is the message that anyone that's being baptized today is proclaiming to the church and to the rest of the world, okay? No words are spoken. They're being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we know as believers that they are setting their course to follow Christ the rest of their lives, okay? Next, baptism displays our death, our burial, and our resurrection in Christ Jesus, okay? It displays that, and we're symbolically going through those things as we're being baptized. It's more than ceremony and tradition. It's an outward display of faith, new life, and commitment, and it's to be identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When you look at baptism, it's a beautiful picture of what our Lord has done for us. Romans 6, 1 through 7 helps us see this picture of what we're doing today when we're baptizing. Romans 6, 1 through 7, it says this, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall you who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in his likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been justified from sin." So when we are participating in baptism, we are dipped or submerged in the water. We are symbolically, this is symbolically, going to our death and burial in Christ. Now, when you think about going to your death and your burial in Christ, that you have to exert some trust. You have to be relying on Jesus for this, okay? Even our own physical death, we are trusting that when our bodies die, that we are going to be resurrected again because Jesus was resurrected, okay? So symbolically, through baptism, we're doing this symbolically, but when we breathe our last breath, we are trusting that we're going to be raised in the resurrection, okay? We're going to be raised in the resurrection. So we're exerting our trust in Christ. So when we're raised out of the water, we're symbolically resurrected, raised to new life in Christ, is what Romans chapter 6 says there, to be with him forever and born into the family of God. So again, the old life is done away with symbolically. You know, we're dying to that old life. We're giving way to a new life in the likeness of Jesus Christ. It's no longer us who lives, but we're living through Christ Jesus. So symbolically, we've been saved, we've been cleansed, we've been bathed, we've been washed, bleached, dyed. Isn't it funny that dye, D-Y-E, is used in connotation with our spiritual death, D-I-E? So we're dyed, and now we're a new color in Christ Jesus. A new garment dipped and dyed a new color. It's almost like a rebranding. I wish I'd have thought about that earlier. Maybe I could have went into that a little more depth, but it's like you're changing brands. We're dipping, we're dying a new believer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they come out something different. They come out the color. This doesn't happen physically, this happens spiritually. They come out the color of Christ. They come out with the essence of Christ. Okay? So we're marked forever. We're dyed, stained, dyed in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. We're to be identified with Jesus Christ. So the person that we see as a result of salvation in this life of sanctification, you know, this process of being renewed, this process of being transformed, the person that we see developing after this baptism, we see the likeness of Christ. So Jesus is the new person on display. Jesus should be the new person on display, but Jesus is that new person on display, okay? That we look, we behave, we speak like Jesus Christ, okay? Galatians 3:27 said, I want to remind you of this, for all you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Clothed yourself. It's like we took off our old garments, and then we put on these brand new garments that are Christ. Okay? Finally, when we get baptized or perform baptism, or why we do that, the final why is because Jesus told us to, and his word says that if we love him, we'll obey his commandments. Okay? So this is one of our acts of obedience because of our love for him, okay? And we want to be identified with Christ as a believer. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. If you love me, you obey my commandments. It seems so simple, but yet it's so hard. Isn't it so hard to be obedient sometimes? But there's grace, you know? We have more and more grace. If you love me, you obey my commandments. And this is the beginning for the believer. Baptism will be the beginning of becoming obedient to the commandments of Christ. Again, why are we obedient to something that doesn't save us? Why are we obedient to the command to be baptized if it doesn't save us? Number one, because Christ said so. Because he commanded us to. And I love Jesus, so I want to obey him. I want my life to be obedient to him. It also shows the outside world, folks, that we are different and that we belong to Christ. We were learning in Deeper Life this week that the first Jewish believers that were converted after they heard Peter's sermon in Acts 2, they came to believe, they repented from their sin, and then they were baptized. That baptism didn't save them. They're coming to the knowledge that they were sinners and pleading for salvation from Jesus, and repentance is what saved them. But when they took that baptism, here's what happened on that day. You remember when Jesus said that following me will cause divisions in families. Father will hate son. Mother will hate daughter. That happened on that day. So these people weren't just going through the motions of being baptized. They weren't just getting in the water to be wet. They were once and for all eternity, identifying themselves with Jesus Christ at a cost, at a high cost. Because what would have happened then, they said who was gathered there? It says they were devout Jews. Okay, they were coming in for the Feast of Pentecost. Some of them had stayed there from the Passover feast. These were devout religious men who missed in their head. They didn't have the spiritual eyes to see the Messiah that had come to come to the earth. Okay, and so they were finally convinced that he was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Messiah. And so when Peter preached that sermon, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter, what should we do? And he says, believe and repent, right? Repent and be baptized. And so when they were being baptized, what they were saying is, I'm no longer a part of this religious system, this culture that I grew up in. Now I'm identifying with Christ Jesus alone. That was a dangerous place to be for a physical body, for a believer, because persecution would have started immediately. This would have torn families apart. This would have torn the temple apart as far as the relationships in the temple. Businesses would have been in jeopardy. This would have been the death of old relationships, okay? Just to put it simply and bluntly. That's what baptism did then. It divided between the world, the fleshly world, and the spiritual world. It divided between the world and Jesus Christ. And that persecution went on and on. And then, you know, we're here because of that. We're here because of that persecution. We're here because those people were baptized and drew the line in the sand and says, I'm drawing the line. I'm cutting myself off from this culture. That's why we're here. Because those believers were baptized and then were obedient to go and make disciples. Okay? They got busy with the work of Christ and they didn't care about what their town thought, what their temple thought, what their mother and father thought, aunt and uncle, the priests. They didn't care. They suddenly became all about Jesus Christ. That's what baptism should be for us, okay? It's a serious matter, but it's also a matter to celebrate and to enjoy. But it's a lifestyle change, you know? I'm drawing the line here and I'm not going back. Okay? We're going to do a baptism here in a little bit, a couple minutes, all right? And if you guys want to come up, those that are being baptized, you can come up and sit on the front row and we'll get up in here some way here. But I wanted to read another scripture to you before I go on. I'm not going to read it all, but if you want to go read some of this today, you can. It's Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40. And this is a story where the Ethiopian eunuch, okay, is The Ethiopian eunuch was asking, he was reading some scripture and asking for help and understanding it. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit was working on Philip, okay, saying, go to this place and minister to this person. I'm going to start in verse 30, chapter 8 of Acts. It says, and Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. This is Isaiah 53 that he was reading. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said to him, how could I understand unless someone guides me, unless someone explains it? You know what that is? It's discipleship. Discipleship is when we're explaining scriptures to people as they're coming to believe. Okay? That's the beginnings of discipleship here. So Philip is discipling this Ethiopian eunuch because he has questions about the scripture. Do you understand what you're reading? Well, how could I unless someone guides me? And Philip invited him to come and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. And this is Isaiah 53. As a sheep is led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will recount his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. So this was a piece of scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was hung up on. And here's more discipleship, okay? Here's more of that go and make disciples that Philip was engaged in. And he said, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you earnestly, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from the scripture, proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And then Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That was the qualification for this Ethiopian eunuch to be baptized. He was converted right there, okay? He believed. He states it right here. And we'll hear our people that are being baptized today, we'll hear their confession of faith. He said, and he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. All right? I just share that because in that we see discipleship happening. We see somebody seeking an explanation, trying to make sense of Scripture, right? And then we see someone else explaining it, the Scripture to him. And as a result, the eunuch accepts salvation. He comes to a place that he can believe, right? And the two, together, in unity, become obedient immediately to baptize. And here they are together, right out in the open, right out in public, alongside a road, right? They were traveling in a chariot. They stopped what they were doing in front of everybody and took their stand in the gospel and were baptized. That's unity. That's the body of Christ, and that's an example for us to follow, okay? For you being baptized, I want to leave this with you today. You're a part of the body of Christ. That's important, okay? So many times people want to be baptized maybe for the wrong reason or I'm not sure, but we see people get baptized and then we don't see them again, right? Stay connected to the body of Christ. When you draw that line in the sand publicly, there's just the temptation to think you're okay and that you don't need the body any longer, okay? So you want to stay connected to your body of believers, okay? Stay connected. That's my wisdom for you today, okay? And then body of Christ, you watch out. You pray. You be ready and available to teach, to explain Scripture, to pray together, okay? That's how this works, okay? Stay connected. You, body, keep them connected, okay? Does that make sense? All right. Are you guys ready? I'm going to get rid of this thing so we don't fry that. If you guys want to come up the stage, Randy...